Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim, daf Samach Dalet. We are holding on daf Samach Gimel and Bezer, about 8 or 9 lines from the end of the page at the two dots. Bekol Makom Haysak Sheira. Today's Sheira is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, the Nisham Shavan Aliyah. And it is also sponsored by Lazer and Linda Shiker in gratitude to Hashem for the continued Rufur Shalema of Nava Gabriela Bas Naomi Tova, and in honor of her 7th birthday. She should continue to have many healthy years, and they should have much nachas from her. So today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to talk about the place for the Malika and the Hazaa and the Mitzui of the Chatas Ha'of. Where exactly did they do all of these avodos of the Chatas Ha'of? Then the Gemara is going to bring the source for all of the three things that we mentioned yesterday that are done on the bottom half of the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the place for the Olas Ha'of and its distance from the Makom HaDeshen, and the Gemara is going to explain the cases where the Kohen turns left on the top of the Mizbeach, because the Mishnah mentioned that as well, that there are certain exceptions to the rule of Kol Pino Shatapon Aleyu El Derech Yemin. There are a couple of cases where you turn left. We're going to discuss those cases, and then in the top Mishnah on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about the procedure for the Malika, the Hazaa, and the Mitzui of the Chatas Ha'of. Those are the three things that you have to do with a Chatas Ha'of. So we're going to describe that procedure. The Gemara is going to discuss the source for how and where the Hazaa of the Chatas Ha'of was actually done. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how they did the Kmitza. How they did the Malika, and why it was so difficult to do the Malika. We're going to mention Kmitza in that context as well, because that too was very difficult, and third thing that we're going to identify. And then there's a long Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis that goes into tomorrow's daf that discusses the procedure for the Olas Ha'of and comparing it to the dinim of the Chatas Ha'of and different Psulei Machshava and the impact it has, and how those Psulei Machshava sometimes make something piggle and sometimes make something puzzle. So that's going to be a long Mishnah that goes well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin about 8 or 9 lines from the end of the page on daf Samach Gimel and Beis. B'kol Makom Haysak Sheira. So we said about the Chatas Ha'of that yes, it's supposed to be done at the southwest corner, but really anywhere you do it is going to be kosher. So my ka'amar, what does that mean? Wherever you do it is going to be kosher. Amar Avashi Hachi ka'amar. What the Mishnah means to tell us is B'kol Makom Haysak Sheira l'melikasa, the malika, the severing the neck from the back of its head, that could be done anywhere and doesn't have to be done dafka in the southwest corner. Ella Zeha Yemakoma Lahaza'asa. When we talk about the southwest corner, that's where you're supposed to do the hazaa of the blood of the Chatas Ha'of. The Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayis explains that even though it's kosher to do the Malika anywhere, they would typically do the Malika by the southwest corner as well, because that's where you had to do the Hazaa. So why would you go do it somewhere else and then have to schlep to the southwest corner? You might as well do the Malika right in that spot. So that typically was how it was done. And in fact, it seems that the Rambam, Maisar Karbanos, Perek Zayin, Alachavav, holds the same thing, because the Rambam writes, Chatas Ha'of Ketzaleis Anasis, what would they do? How would they do the Chatas Ha'of? Moleko Sabi Karen Dromus Maravis, they would do the Malika on the southwest corner. Well, we just got through saying in the Gemara that you don't need to do the Malika on the southwest corner. What? But the Rambam says they would. Why would they? So Pashtus is the Rambam learns like the Tiferes Yisrael, that they would. That's what they would actually do, because the Hazaa had to be at the southwest corner. So that's where they would do the Malika as well. So the Gemara brings a Brisa that says this same idea. Tanila Tan Rabban, we have a Brisa that confirmed this. Malaka that confirms this idea that Malika could be done anywhere. Malaka b'kol makom b'mizbeach k'sheira. If you did the Malika anywhere on the Mizbeach, not lavdafka, the southwest corner, it's going to be kosher. He's a dama b'kol makom. If you sprinkle the dam of the chatas anywhere, so k'sheira, it's also kosher. He's a v'lo mitzah k'sheira. If you do the hazaa and not the mitzvah. Hazaa is the sprinkling of the dam. Mitzvah is squeezing the body of the animal against of the bird against the mizbech to squeeze out dam. So that's if you don't do the mitzvah, it's kosher. You just have to make sure that dam nefesh goes on the bottom half of the mizbech. So my ka'amar, what is the brisa telling me? It's a stira mineu bein the brisa. It first says that the hazaa could be done anywhere, and then it says that it needs to be in the bottom half from the dam nefesh that goes on the bottom half of the mizbech. And you can't say that it means that if you do it again, meaning if you did it in the wrong place, then as long as you do it again on the bottom half of the mizbech, because Rashi points out in some that he's a dama sounds like kol dama, that you don't have any extra dam, that you were maza all of the dam already. So hachi kamer, no, what it means says as follows: malaka b'kol makom b'mizbech ksheira, malika could be done anywhere. Mitzvah dam b'kol makom b'mizbech ksheira. The mitzvah yadam could be done anywhere. Shem he's a v'lo mitzvah ksheira, and the reason the mitzvah yadam could be done anywhere is because even if you only did hazoas adam, but not mitzvah yadam at all, it would be kosher. The mitzvah yadam is not ma'akev, and therefore, if you do the mitzvah yadam in the wrong place, it's no worse than having not done it at all. Obelvad sheite michut asukra lamata midam nefesh. But the hazoas adam, that's got to be michut asukra lamata in the southwest corner midam nefesh. So the Bryce is not really telling me that hazaa is kosher b'kol makom. Hazaa is not kosher b'kol makom. Hazaa is only on the southwest corner. Mitzoy could happen anywhere because it could happen not at all, and the malika could happen anywhere on the mizbech. There is a machlokes achronim about a mitzoy that's done shalom b'makomo. Is that called that you did a mitzoy or not? Meaning the Gemara's point is that the reason mitzoy could be done anywhere is because mitzoy doesn't need to be done at all. It's not gave the carbon. So is that just a fancy way of saying if you did the mitzvah in the wrong place, it's as if you didn't do it at all, and it's just not makiv? Or are we saying, no, if it weren't done at all, it would still be kosher? You do it in the wrong place. You did a mitzvah, just not in the right place. So the Chazon Ish holds that mitzvah shalom b'mekomo is called a mitzvah, and you were makayim the mitzvah of mitzvah. The Briska Rav disagrees. He holds mitzvah shalom b'mekomo is not a mitzvah at all. It's considered as if you didn't do it, and just happens not to be ma'akev. Now, according to the shita, that if you do the mitzvah b'kol makom, that it's kshera. It's not because the you were makayim the din of mitzvah. It's because it's low gara from not doing mitzvah at all. So then the brisa doesn't have to say anything. All it has to tell me is that mitzvah is not ma'akev, and obviously it would be pashut that it's kosher if you do it everywhere. What's the brisa adding by saying it's kosher if you do it everywhere? If you're going to tell me that if I do it elsewhere, I'm still makayim the mitzvah, so then that's a chiddush. If you don't do it at all, you're obviously not mekayim mitzvah smitzui. You do it in the wrong spot, you're still mekayim the mitzvah. But if you're going to tell me if I do it in the wrong spot, it's not even a mitzvah at all, then what's the chiddush of telling me that it's kosher if I do it in the wrong spot? So the Briska Rav points out, he answers based on the Gemara that we're going to have in Daf Samachay, in tomorrow's Daf, that if you do with a korban chatas, the maisa ola, it will passel it. Because one might have therefore thought that if you do the mitzvah dam, lemala, that it's going to be passel. And that's worse than not doing a mitzvah at all, which is also mistaver. Meaning sometimes not doing something at all is better than doing it wrong. So one might have thought that if you do the mitzvah incorrectly, you do it in the wrong spot, that's worse than not doing it at all. So the chiddush is that just like not doing it at all is okay, not doing the mitzvah at all is okay, doing the mitzvah in the wrong place is also okay. It's low gara from not doing it at all. Okay, says the Gemara Vaitanau. Shlosh Dvarim, the Mishnah had listed three things that the southwestern corner was used for on the bottom, and three things on the top, on the upper half of the southwestern corner. So the bottom half of the southwestern corner, they would do the chatas of, the hagashos, and the shiore hadam. So how do we know all those three things? Well, chatas of hadam maran. We already said in yesterday's daf how I know that the chatas of was on the bottom of the southwest corner, because the pasuk by the minchas chote says ki chatos hi, and from there there we compare Chatas Ha'ov to Hagasha B'mincha, and Hagasha B'mincha we know. The Hagasha Samincha we know is done on the southwest corner. Okay, Hagashos, how do I know the Hagasha Samincha is done by the southwest corner? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'gish el p'nei ha'mizbech. Only it doesn't. There's no such Pasuk. The Gemara had said, the word p'nei doesn't appear in the Pasuk, and that Pasuk is not really the basis of the Limud. The basis of the Limud we had in yesterday's daf was V'zos Torah Samincha, Krevos Ha'bnei Aaron, Lefnei Hashem, El Pnei HaMizbeach. So the only place that's both Lefnei Hashem and also El Pnei HaMizbeach is the southwest corner, because El Pnei HaMizbeach is the south of the Mizbeach. Lefnei Hashem is the west. So it must be the southwest corner. That's the only place that you fulfill both of those things. So it's a little bit of a mystery why the Gemara quotes the wrong Pasuk over here. Shiari Adam, when it comes to the Shiari Adam, Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'eis kol dam apar yishpoch el yisod HaMizbeach. Only there's no such pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say that anywhere because that pasuk doesn't exist. So the real limud is from elsewhere. The pasuk that it means to quote seems to be Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Ches Ves Kol Adam Yishpoch. Shin Gvetzes adds El Yisod Mizbach HaOla. So now the problem is that pasuk is by the Parum Dover Shel Tzibur, which is the Chatos HaPnimis, where the Shiari Adam is put on the western Yisod of the Mizbeach, and Lav Dafka on the southwestern Yisod of the Mizbeach. And the Shiraim that we're talking about are the Chatos HaChitzonos, which have to be on the southwestern part of the Mizbeach, not the western part of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara back on Daf Nun Gimel said that from the Chatos HaPnimios, we learn some of the dinim of the Chatos HaChitzonios, that the Shiraim of the Chitzonios have to be put on the southwestern part of the Mizbeach, which is right near where the Kohen comes down from the ramp on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and he puts it near, as close on the southern side of the Mizbeach, as close to where the Chatos HaPnimios are placed, which is the western side of the Mizbeach. And that's how I know the southwestern side of the Mizbeach. So it's not really explicit in any pasuk. It's a lot of combining different pieces of knowledge to get to that point. Okay, but those are the sources for the three things that are done on the bottom half of the southwestern corner. Then we said Milamaila, and what's done on the top half of the southwestern corner? Nisuch Hamayim, Vahayayin, Va'olas Ha'ov, Kishi Rabba B'Mizrach. The pouring of the Yayin and the Nisuch Hamayim that they would do on Sukkis, and whenever it was overcrowded on the southeastern side for Olas Ha'ov, they would do the Olas Ha'ov on the southwestern side. So naturally, you would expect, after the Gemara just got through telling us what the sources are for those things that are done on the bottom half of the southwest corner, we're going to now list the sources for those things that are done on the top half of the southwest corner. Only it doesn't. The Gemara never gets into what the sources are for these things being done on the top half of the southwest corner, probably because it's obvious. The Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin had to be done into the Sefalim. They had these little bowls that went straight into the Shisin. They were on the top of the Mizbeach. So it only makes sense for it to be on the top. So it's obvious that that's on the top half of the Mizbeach. So you don't really need a source for it. And the fact that the Olas Ha'Of was on the top half is because we're going to say that it's got to be close to the Beis HaDeshen, and we're going to see soon exactly how we knew, meaning through the conversation about the proximity to the Beis HaDeshen, we're going to see how it's clear that it's on the top of the Mizbeach. So anyway, says Mar my time, why is it that the Olas Ha'Of is Dafka on the southwestern corner, right? So Rabbi Yochanan Nesha Krova Mi Beis HaDeshen, that's the closest place to the Beis HaDeshen, that they have to take the Mora and the Notza, the feathers and the crop of the bird of the Olas Ha'Of, and throw it onto the Beis HaDeshen, which was a pile of ashes near the Mizbeach, and they to throw it from the top of the Mizbeach to that pile of ashes, they wanted the Kohen to be in as close proximity as possible so that he can have an easier time doing that. Rabbi Yochanan commented though, but when it was too busy on the southeastern side, the Kohen had to be on the southwestern side. So look at that. Bo rei kam gadol kocha shel kohanim. How strong were these kohanim? Shein lecha kal ba'ofos yosem mimor v'notza. There is nothing that is lighter than the mor v'notza of the bird. It's feathers. You can't throw feathers very far. And sometimes the Kohen had to throw it more than 30 amos. So imagine throwing a feather 60 feet. How does he manage to do that? He must have been so strong. I never really understood that, because no matter how much, the more power power you put behind a feather, the worse the throw goes. No, like it doesn't more power doesn't help it. I don't know. I'm not sure. But somehow it's at least he figured something clever out. I don't know. This Vasevis points out. What do you mean? I could figure that out. Just tie a rock to it and then and then throw the rock. So Vasevis said it must have been Usher to do that. You know, because otherwise we wouldn't be making a big deal out of it that he would tie a rock. He said, I don't know why it's Usher to do that, but it must be that it's Usher to tie a rock to the feathers to throw it. So the Gemara says, how do I know where the Beis Hadeshen is? There's a Mishnah Maseches Tamid that describes the Trumas Hadeshen, that one of the whichever Kohen won the raffle to be able to do the Trumas Hadeshen, he was not al machta shel kesef. He brought a silver shovel va'ala l'rosh ha'mizbeach, and he went to the top of the mizbeach, to the place of the ma'aracha, the bonfire on the top of the mizbeach, and where they would burn all the basar of the karbanos, upinas ha'gecholim eilach ve'eilach, and he would clear away some of the outermost surface of the coals, the chatuminamu ukolos apnimios, and he would dig out from the coals that were all the way on the inside, that were burned really well, v'yored, and then you'd go down the ramp of the mizbeach holding this shovel of coals. Higia l'ritzpa, he would get to the floor of the azara facing south, because when you go down the ramp, you're facing southward, right? The ramp goes down toward the south. Machsir panav klapet tzafon, he would do an about face, right? He would turn toward the north next to the ramp. V'holech l'mizracho shal kevesh ke'aser amos, and he would walk along the eastern side of the ramp, 10 amos northward, right, to back toward the mizbeach, and there tzavar sagacholim al gabei ritzpa, and that's where he put all of these coals on the floor. Rachok min hakevesh shlosha tvachim, just 3 tvachim to the right of the ramp. If you're facing the mizbeach, 3 tvachim to the right of the ramp, he would, but 10 amos into the floor space of the ramp, that's where he would leave the pile of ashes. Makom shnosim moravinotza v'dishin mizbeach apanimi v'aminora, and that very spot is where they would have to throw the moravinotza of the olas ha'of, the crap and the feathers of the olas ha'of, and that's where they would also put the dishin mizbeach apanimi, what the ashes they would take off of the inner mizbeach that was in the heichal, as well as the ashes of the menorah. So based on that, we see that they had to, that the Kohen had to throw it sometimes 30 amos. How do you cheshbon that's 30 amos? I mean, if you walk 10 amos closer to the mizbeach, once he got down the ramp, then he's 20 amos from the mizbeach. Yeah, but he's on the eastern side, and we said that when there's too much going on the eastern side, they would do the olas ha'of on the southwestern side, not on the southeastern side. Ideally, it was southeastern side, because that was closest to the makom hadesh. But when it got too crowded there, they would have to do the olas ha'of on the southwestern side. And we're not going to do the math right now. But if you do the math and you make the triangle from where he was to where and you figure out the whatever you call this when there's a right angle, you figure out the dimensions. So it turns out to be more than 30 amos. Says Gemara, more than 30 amos. Hani tefei mitzlos and v'chad avyon. It turns out to be more than 31 amos. Says Gemara, makom gavri lo chashav. A person takes up one ama. So we don't count the space that he's taking up. Even if he, rears back to throw, we only count it from the release point, which is in front of his body. So we assume that it's 30 amos and not 31 amos, or a drop more than 30 amos, not a drop more than 31 amos. Okay, kol ol mizbeach. We then said that anyone who goes up the mizbeach turns right, with a few exceptions, right, that there were 3 cases where you turn left when you go up the mizbeach. So my taima, why is it that the people who go for these 3 things, they would turn to the left? So Rabbi Yochanan, nisachim, as far as the nisachim of the nisuch hayayin and the nisuch hamayim, so the reason they turned left and didn't make a hekef around the entire mizbeach is shami yisashnu. They were afraid that if they'd walk around the long way of the mizbeach, there was a lot of smoke on the top of the mizbeach, the wine would become damaged from the smoke, and yayin, that's mu'ushan, is pasul to do nisuch on. You're not allowed to do nisuch ha-yayin. with wine that is smoked. So in order to maintain the integrity of the wine, they had to go in the most direct way to the southwest corner and not to go around the entire Mizbech. Svasemis points out another practical insight. It must be that it was usher to put a cover on the wine, because you could protect it by putting a cover on it. Don't know why, but it must be that there was usher to put a cover on it. So that's why, in order to prevent it from becoming Mu'ushan, he had to turn left. Olas Ha'of, and the reason the Olas Ha'of had to be brought more directly to the southwest corner, and he had to turn left, and he couldn't go around the entire Mizbech, is Shema Tamos Ba'ashan. There's so much smoke on the top of the Mizbech, the bird is still alive when he's bringing it up the Mizbech. He's going to do the Malika on the top of the Mizbech. So the bird is still alive. He doesn't want it to die from smoke inhalation on the way to doing the Malika. So it says Gemara Urmini, but I'll ask you a stira. There's a Mishnah in Tamid that tells us that if the Kohen Gadol ever decides that he wants to be Maktir, he has the right to do so. So, and what would he do? Balo Lahakifis Mizbech, he would, whenever the Kohen Gadol would decide that he wants to do the Nisach Hayayin, he would go around the entire Mizbech. Me'ayinu Maschil, where would he start his journey around the Mizbech? Mikeren Dromis Mizrachis, he would start on the southeast corner, which means he goes up the ramp, makes a right, and then Mizrachis Tzvonis, and then to the northeast corner, and then Tzvonis Maravis, then to the northwest corner, and finally Maravis Dromis to the southwest corner, and Nosin Lo Yayin Lenasech, and that's where he would be Menasech the Yayin. So don't you see that apparently they weren't worried about the wine becoming smoked, and he would go around the long way on the Mizbech? Some Rabbi Yochanan Hakafa Beregel. No, he would go around alone without the wine in his hand. He was just walking, and then when he got there, they would hand him the wine. So when the Kohen Gadol did that, he had such a privilege that he didn't have to schlep the wine. So if you're not schlepping the wine, you don't have to worry about the wine becoming Mu'ushan. They would just hand it to him when he got there. So therefore, he took the long route around the Mizbech. Amar Rava Dekanami, it's meduyik this way, in the way that the Brisa says, the Mishnah Tamid says it, to Katani, because it says that after he ran around the Mizbech, Nosnin Lo Yayin Lenasech, they gave him wine to then do Nisuch. V'lo Katani Omrim Lo Nasech, they didn't say, it doesn't say in the Mishnah that they then told him, go be Menasech, because he didn't have the wine yet. They only gave it to him. Had he had the wine already the whole time he was walking around, it would have said that when he arrived at the southwest corner, they would say, Nasech and Yibim Nasech. But it doesn't say that. Apparently, they only gave it to him when he got there. So Shema Mino, we see Rabbi Yochanan is correct. So now the Gemara brings Braisa about going up and down the Mizbech. So Tan Rabban, Kol Olam Mizbech, Olam Derech Yamin, V'yordin Derech Smol. Whenever someone went up the Mizbech, they would go up on the right side of the Mizbech, meaning facing the Mizbech on the right side of the Mizbech, which is the eastern side of the ramp, and they would come down on the western side of the ramp, on the left side of the ramp. Olin Derech Mizrach, they would go up in the east. V'yardin Derech Marav, they would go down on the western side of the ramp, meaning those are two ways of saying the same thing. Olin Derech Yamin is the same as Olin Derech Mizrach. Yardin Derech Smol is the same as Yardin Derech Marav. Even though in ancient maps, and when we describe things, the way they were always oriented is not the way our maps are oriented, with north on the top. They always had east on the top. But when you're facing the Mizbeach, you were actually facing north. So to your Yamin is the east, and to your Smol is the left. So it should be familiar to us, that concept of the east being on the right and the west being on the left. Chutz min ol shol shemar malal, except for people who went up to do the Nisach Hayayin, the Nisach Hamayim, and the Olas Ha'of when it was overcrowded on the northwestern side. Sha'olim derech marav, they would go up on the western side of the ramp, v'yordin derech marav, and they would go down on the western side of the ramp as well. Olin Derech Yamin, V'yardin Derech Yamin. And you know, that's the same as going up on the right side and going down on the right side. So we were good till that last line, right? Meaning we just got through saying that the left side is the west and the right side is the east. So we're saying, oh, when they did these three things, they went up on the western side And that's the right side. What are you talking about? Derech Yemin, Derech Smalhu. That's the west is the left side of the ramp. It's not the right side of the ramp. So two answers. Answer number one, Amar Ravina, Tani Smal. Yeah, that's obviously a typo, meaning the whole Brice up until that point was very clear that the Smal is the Ma'arav and the Yemin is the Mizrach. So obviously it's a typo and it should say Smal and not Yemin. Rava Amar, a different answer. My Yemin, Yemin de Mizbeach. My small de gavra. No, when we talk about in this brisa yamin usmal, it depends how you orient yourself. Are you the guy facing the ramp, going up to the mizbeach, or are you the mizbeach facing the ramp and facing the guy? Meaning, it depends which way you're oriented. So when it says about being ole v'yored on the yamin, that's talking about when you're facing the mizbeach. It's the yamin. Your yamin. The Yemin de Mizbeach, when it talks about the going for these three things, being on the right side, it means from the Mizbeach's perspective. So from the Mizbeach's perspective, the right side is the western side of the ramp. And when it says small in the ratio of the Brisa, that they would go up on the small, that's small de Gavra. That's from the guy's perspective as he's facing the Mizbeach. So says Gemara, but that is like super confusing and it's totally unnecessary, right? Why would you change the orientation of what's to the right, what's to the left, facing this direction, facing that direction, right in the middle of a brisa, unless you're trying to confuse someone? Vinisni o edved de mizbeach, o edved de gavra. Why not just keep the orientation consistent so that we don't we won't struggle to fit the whole daf in 40 minutes today? We could have saved ourselves the last five lines, right? So why would you do that? So says Gemara Kasha. Yeah, it's difficult. Maybe it'll be 41 minutes today. Okay, so says the Mishnah now. The Mishnah is going to talk about the procedure for the Chatas Ha'of. So Chatas Ha'of is a Korban Chova. It's not something that's brought b'nedava. An Olas Ha'of could be brought b'nedava. And there are six different things that you can bring a Chatas Ha'of for. Sometimes when you have a Korban Olda V'yoreid, so the cheapest version of that is a Chatas Ha'of, or the second cheapest. I mean, you have Ashir Ani and real Ani. So for Shavuos Eidu, Shavuos Bitoy, Tumas Mikdash Kedashav, so you violate those averos, so you bring a chatas. If you're a behema, if you're an ashir, and if you're an ani, you bring a chatas ha'of, and bedale dalus, you bring a mincha, you bring carbon mincha. So the middle level is a chatas ha'of. A mitzora has to bring behemos as well as a chatas and nola and asham. I mean, he has to bring behemos that are a chatas nola and asham, and if he can't afford it, so he brings one behema for an ashram and shnei torma shnei bnei yona for an ola and a chatas. So that's also a case where if he can't afford it, he gets downgraded to a bird. A zav who becomes tahar brings shnei sorma shnei bnei yona, one for an ola, one for a chatas. That's also chatas ha'of. A zava that becomes tahara brings shnei sorma shnei bnei yona for an ola. A yoledes brings ben yona or a tahar l'chatas. A nazir in his process. So there are a whole bunch of things that you bring a chatas ha'of for. So says the Mishnah, chatas ha'of ketzaleis anasis. How would they do chatas ha'of? So we leave out the line olo lekevish shafan alasov olo karen dramas mizrachis, because that line happens to not be true. It's a mistake. The chatas ha'of was done on the karen dramas ma'aravis milamata. It's true, the malika is kosher wherever it is, but it wasn't done dafka on that karen. So this somehow got stuck into this Mishnah, but it doesn't belong, so we skip that line. Hayimolik es rosha, mimul arpa. You do the malika of the chatas ha'of, which is the opposite of a shechita. Shechita is from the front of the neck, and it's with a kli. The malika is with the fingernail from the back of the neck. Ve'inu mavdil, but by the chatas ha'of, you don't cut it through and through. You don't totally sever the head from the body. Umazami dama al kir mizbech, and then you sprinkle from the dam on the wall of the mizbech, on the southwestern wall, bottom half of the wall of the mizbech. Shiyori adam hayim mis matzah al yisod, and then the shiari adam you would squeeze out directly onto the yisod of the mizbeach, or onto the wall of the mizbeach, where it would then the shiari adam that was left in the oaf, the kohen would be makrav, the place of where the oaf was cut, the malika, the place where he did the malika, to the wall of the mizbeach, and he'd press it against the wall of the mizbeach till dam would squeeze out and then drip down to the yisod. It's not that he did the mitzoy on the yisod, he did the mitzoy on the bottom half of the wall of the mizbeach by squeezing the bird against the mizbeach, and then the blood would naturally drip down to the yisod of the mizbeach. Ve'in the mizbeach ela dama. But when it comes to the chatos, the only part that goes on the mizbeach by a chatos hof is the dam. V'kula the kohanim. All of the meat goes to the kohanim. Nothing gets burnt on the mizbeach. Okay, so now says Gemara Tana Rabban, we have a brisa that describes the source for how and where the hazaah of the chatas ha'of was done. So v'hiza midama chatas miguf ha'chatas. That v'hiza midama chatas means you don't put the blood into a kli. There's no kabbalas hadam in a kli and then hazaah from a kli. No. It's just you're sprinkling from the body of the chatas. Ha'ketzad ochiz brosho baguf ha'maza. You're holding the body and the head, which were not severed from one another, and you wave it to sprinkle blood from it onto the mizbeach. Al kira mizbeach. So we said that you put it on the kira mizbeach. Below al kira kevesh, below kira heichel, below kira ulam. Dafka on the wall of the mizbeach, not the wall of the ramp, not the wall of the heichel, not the wall of the ulam. I don't know why those are havaminas. And what is the kira mizbeach? Zek kira tachton. That's the bottom half of the kira hamizbeach, the bottom half of the mizbeach. Oeinu el kira elyon. How do I know that it's a kira tachton? Maybe it should be the kira elyon. Vidinu. And after all, I might have said the following kal v'chomer. Uma behema sha'olasa lemata v'chatasa lemaila. If when it comes to a behema, where an olas behema you do on the bottom half of the mizbeach, and still a chatas behema goes on the top half of the mizbeach, so of sha'olasa lemaila by an of, where even if it were an ola would be on the top half of the mizbeach, ain't odin shechatasa lemaila. I would think all the more so that the chatas is dam should go on the top half of the mizbeach. So why isn't only on the bottom half of the mizbeach? Because Tamalomar, because the pasuk says that you do the hazah, and it says va'anishar badam yimatzei el yisod hamizbeach, that whatever dam is left drips down to the yisod. It has to be a spot on the mizbeach where it's natural that it would drip down to the yisod. That's only on the bottom half. Because if you were to squeeze the blood or place the blood on the top half of the mizbeach, it would stop at the sovev. When it drips down, there's a ledge called the sovev. Right? So if it was on the top part of the mizbeach, it would stop at the sovev. So it has to be on the bottom part of the mizbeach where it goes down to the yisod of the mizbeach. So ask the Gemara, but wait, can't you accomplish both? Why don't you do a hazah on the top half of the mizbeach based on the kal v'chomer that we had, that if by a behema, you know, where some behemas go lamata, still by the chatas it goes lamaila, so for sure by an oaf, where even the olas oaf goes lamaila, then of course the chatas oaf has to go lamaila. You would say that kal v'chomer, and then also fulfill this idea of mitzvah el yisod by placing it again on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So amarava, miksiv yimotzei ksiv. Does it say yimotzeh in the active that you should squeeze again to get on the bottom of the mizbeach? Yimotzeh sounds like it just happens that after you did the hazah, it would naturally just drip down to the bottom to the yisod of the mizbeach, and therefore there's only one hazah of dam of the chatas ha'of, and it's got to be on the bottom half of the mizbeach so that the blood will drip down all the way to the yisod. Amar Rav Zutcha bar Tovia Amar Rav. Ketzad molkin chatas ha'of. How exactly would they do the malika? Meaning, it seems difficult to hold a bird and do a malika of the bird as you're holding it. So even when we shech the bird, the way we shech the bird, typically someone else will hold it, right? And that could be a nachri. The nachri holds the bird's neck, and then the shochet comes, and he slices. So how exactly did they do the malika? So Amar Rav Zutcha bar Tovia Amar Rav. Ketzad molkin chatas ha'of. Ochez gap. This is one of those things where, like, even a picture is hard to you know, even when they show you the picture, it's hard to imagine. But they would take the wings of the bird and they would hold it between the ama and the etzba. That's between the two fingers that signal victory, right? The middle finger and the index finger. So you would hold the wings tight with those fingers. Ushtei raglayim b'shtei etzbaos, and then you would hold the two feet of the two legs of the bird between the kmitza and the zeres, between the ring finger and the pinky, and you'd put the neck of the animal in between your thumb and your index finger. Umotek tzavara al rochav goldo, and the neck of the animal was across the width of your thumb, which I think means in that, you know, in that gap, you know, between the index finger and the thumb. Umolka, and then you would maneuver the thumb to do the malika in such a way. So b'masnisa tana, another brisa said, no, it wasn't on the inside of your hand that the majority of the bird was not held inside of your hand. Rather, tzipro mi levar, it was actually over the back of your hand. The majority of the bird's body was running over the back of the kohen's hands. That oches gapav b'shtei etzba'os, he would hold the wings between the ama and the kmitza, right between the middle finger and the ring finger. Ushnei raglayim b'shtei etzba'os, and he would hold the 2 feet between the kmitza and the zeres, between the ring finger and the pinky. Umotech tzavaru al shtei etzba'osav, and he would run its neck over his other 2 fingers, the thumb and the index finger. Umolik, and he would do the malika that way, as the body of the animal of the bird was over the back of his hand. Vizu avodah kasha shebe mikdash, and as you might imagine, this was avodah kasha shebe mikdash. This was extremely, extremely challenging. A little less challenging according to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that they would actually hold it with the left hand, and they would do the malika with the right hand. So that makes it a little less challenging. We don't have to do it all with one hand, but many others assume that it all had to be done with one hand. So according to the Rambam, the koshi was is just like even using a fingernail to cut through an animal's neck. That seems really difficult. So it's not so much in the holding of the bird and how to maneuver it. It's more cutting through an animal's neck with your fingernail. That's the koshi according to the Rambam, l'chora. But so says Gemara, zohi v'sulo, that's the avodah kasha of mikdash, that's it. V'yika kmitza v'chafina. What about kmitza? And what about chafina? Chafina was on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to be maktir special ketoris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and how he got it in there with everything that he had to carry, the shovel and the coals and the ketoris, and then maneuvering everything. So that was avodah kasha. So his teeth may have been involved. That was avodah kasha shebe mikdash. So ele ema avodah kasha may avodah kasha shebe mikdash. So we say malika's avodah kasha shebe mikdash means one of the avodah kasha shebe mikdash. There were other difficult things to do. Meaning it took a great deal of training probably to be a kohen who could do these things. Okay, so now we get to the very long Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses the dinim of Ola Sa'of, and we're going to compare it to the dinim of Chata Sa'of. Now, in Ola Sa'of has, by Chata Sa'of, we said there were 3 dinim. You had to Malika, you had to Haza'a, and you had to Mitzui. By the Ola Sa'of, there are 4 dinim. There's the Malika, there's, right, which you do on any Oaf. There's the Haktara Saros, the burning of the head, because you sever the head by an Ola Sa'of. So the burning of the head. Then there's the Mitzui Adam, and then there's the Haktara Saguf. Then you burn the actual, you actually burn the body. There are other things you do in between as well, but those are the primary avodos. So Ola Sa'of Ketzad Nasas. How would they do in Ola Sa'of? So Ola Kevesh, the Kohen would go up the ramp with a bird in hand. Upana L'Sovev. He didn't go all the way to the top of the Mizbeach. He took the small ramp off to the right to get to the Sovev of the Mizbeach, right? And Bolo L'Keren Drombus Mizrachis. And that would bring him to the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, on the Sovev, and Hayamolik Asrosha Mimol Arpa. And that's where he would do the Malika of the bird, Umavdil, and he would completely sever the head, Umitza as Dam al Kir Mizbech, and he would squeeze out the blood on the wall of the Mizbech. Then Natal Sarosh, after he separated the head from the body, he would take the head of the bird, Vihikif Base Malikaso, and he would bring this spot where it was severed, meaning the open wound of the severed head, La Mizbeach, and he'd squeeze out the blood on the Mizbeach, Usfago Bamelech, and after that he would clean it out with some salt, Uzrako al Gabi Yishim, and then he would throw it onto the fire, onto the Maracha that was on the Gag of the Mizbeach, that was on the top of the Mizbeach. Bala leguf, then he would go to the body of the oaf, because remember the head was severed from the body. Vehesir samura vesanotza, and he removed the mura and the notza, the crop and the feathers or something. Ves binea me'ayim ayotzin imam, and when he would remove those things, whatever intestines would come out with them, would come out with them. Vishlich on the base hadeshen, and that was the throw that we said before, the amazing throw, that he would throw it all the way to the base hadeshen, which when it's on the southeastern corner is not as big a deal, but when he's doing that from the southwestern corner, that's quite the throw, right? So he would throw it to the base hadeshen. Shisa v'lo hivdil, if he would then cut the body in half, but not totally into two separate parts, he would just split it. V'im hivdil kosher, but if he did cut it completely in half and split them entirely, so it would still be kosher. Then sofko b'melech, he would, wherever he just cut it, he would stick salt in there. Uzrako al gabi ishim. Then he would throw that on the fire, and because it's an olas oaf, so the kohen doesn't get any of the meat. Everything just goes on the fire on top of the mizbech. Lo yisra amora v'lo anotza v'sbnei me'ayim ayotzenima. If he didn't remove the mora and the notza and the bnei me'ayim, v'lo svago b'melech, or if he didn't do the salting of it, kol shashina b'me'ach shemitza es dama k'sheira. Anything that he does wrong after he already did the mitzvah of the dam, the carbon is still kosher. Hivdil b'chatas v'lo hivdil ba'ola. If let's say he severed the head of a chatas oaf, or he didn't sever the head of an olas oaf, pasul, then it's pasul. Mitzah is dama rosh v'lo mitzah dama gulf, psula. If he did the mitzoy by the olas oaf from the blood of the head, but not from the blood of the body, it's pasul. Mitzah dama gulf v'lo mitzah dama rosh, kshera. But if he only did the mitzoy with the dam of the gulf and not with the dama rosh, it's kosher. Chata sa'ov shemalaka shalol l'shma, mitzah dama shalol l'shma l'shma v'shalol l'shma o shalol l'shma v'lishma, psula. Olas sa'ov kshera, v'lachlo also l'bailim l'shem chav. You know, we'll, some people pick up with that tomorrow with the chata sa'ov, because that's the part of the Mishnah that starts getting into kavanas. So that's a totally separate part of the Mishnah. Okay, everyone have a great day.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, have a great day.